Coming back in the Mid Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Coming back from the break, it's time for us to touch on another team that plays inside of Little Caesars Arena, but they lay down a sheet of ice, get on skates, and use a stick to try and put a puck in a net past a goalie. We're talking about the Detroit Red Wings. They started the season off very well, playing great hockey and looking like they had that spark back that they were looking for from a couple years ago when they almost made the playoffs. But what a hot start. Things came crashing back down to earth with a little sense of reality. The Red Wings are currently on a three-game losing skid, and they are currently tied for fourth in the Atlantic Division with Tampa Bay. Montreal currently sits at the top with 22 points, tied with Boston. Ottawa in third at 20 points. Tied for sixth are Florida and Toronto at 17. Buffalo coming in last with just 14 points. The last time we talked, they had just lost to the Golden Knights. Now they have two more losses to the Rangers, 4-1, and the Blackhawks, 5-1. Both of those games were at Little Caesars Arena. Really starting to be some problems for the Red Wings playing at home. Looking at their record, they're 5-3-0 at home, 4-4-0 on the road. So I guess they're playing just as good at home as they are on the road. So maybe they're just not playing great hockey at the moment. It's always tough when a team gets off to a great start and then they try and, you know, put it all back together after having a skid. The ups and downs of a season can make it extremely hard to stay focused and stay motivated, knowing exactly what it is that you want coming up next. Looking at what is coming up for them the rest of their season, well, next couple of weeks anyway, they have the Anaheim Ducks, who they just played recently, coming off their last game. We'll find out exactly what that score is going to be. Just some transparency. Recording on Thursday this week, as my life is crazy and I won't be here on Friday. So we don't know the score of the Anaheim game, but they do have Buffalo later tonight on Saturday, 7 p.m. That's on ESPN Plus, as long as it doesn't get blacked out. They play Sunday against the Rangers. That one is going to be at Madison Square Garden. So maybe an opportunity for them to get back at the Rangers after they just dropped one 4-1 at home. And then they play Seattle and New York before we'll speak again. And New York as in the Islanders. So they'll play both New York teams in the next week. So a great chance for them to get back in the right groove. Really, all they got to do is win a game. They lost to Anaheim on the road 5-2. So maybe they can get back at Anaheim when they're visiting here at Little Caesars Arena. That could be fantastic for them. Then they can roll that right into a game against Buffalo, who they also lost to 4-2. So they have three straight games against teams they've already lost games to this year before they go on to play Seattle, who they haven't lost to because they haven't played them yet. And then they also play the Islanders, who they lost to 7-2 earlier this season as well. And then Columbus is next on the docket. So it's really an uphill battle for the Red Wings. Let's check on the statistical categories as always. Dylan Larkin leads the team with 9 goals, 3 of them on the power play. Alex DeBrincat leads the team, 11 assists, 3 power play assists, but he has a -2 for a +/-. And then Dylan Larkin leads the team with 19 points. He's got 10 assists to go along with his 9 goals. The team averages 2.75 goals per game, gives up 3.19 goals per game, 18.9% on the power play, which is 17th. They're tied for 19th in goals against per game, and they're tied for 14th in penalty kill at 80%. Goaltending, Cam Talbot has been pretty great so far this year. 2.92 in the goals against average. He's only given up 22 goals. His save percentage is .891. He has 179 saves on 201 shots against. They're already off to, honestly, a solid pace. They won 39, or they have 9 wins so far. They only won 39 games last year, 35 in 2022, and 32 in 2021. Or 21 and 22, 35 and 22 and 23, 41 and 23 to 24, 39 and 24 to 25. So they're pacing to honestly maybe be above that 31-41 number that they were at a couple of years ago. But the question is, when do they kick it back into gear and when do they win games to get back on that pace? We'll check back in with them next week, but we're going to touch on something else happening on ice. We're going to touch on the college hockey at the moment. I mean, it's been unreal for the state of Michigan for college hockey. You have amazing teams for the NCAA in terms of Michigan hockey. Michigan State currently 7-1, sitting as the number one team in the country. Michigan 10-2, sitting as the number two team in the country. Western Michigan 5-5, sitting as the number eight team in the country. Those three teams at one point were the 1, 2, and 3 teams in the country. And we'll start with Michigan State since they're at the top. We'll give them their respect and due diligence as the best team in the country. So as I'm pulling this up, I'm telling you this is amazing podcasting. So I'm happy for you. I'm really excited to see what it is that has been so good for them. So went over to their page and we're going to pull up their schedule real quick. Looking at their 25-26 schedule, they played exhibition against Windsor and Ontario, which they won 4-0. They started their year with a loss to New Hampshire 3-4, but then they bounced back and evened the series 2-0. And then they swept the then number one Boston University Terriers 4-2 and then beat them 4-3 in overtime. And then they took care of business against Northern Michigan in Marquette 4-0 and 6-2. That Boston series was also in Boston. So that was a road series for the Spartans. Then they went and took on the number three ranked at the time, Penn State Nittany Lions. They beat them 2-1 in overtime in the first game and then also beat them 5-0 in the second game, both of those games at home. Their next matchups are Notre Dame and a home-and-home series. Both of these games will be played at Notre Dame and South Bend on the 14th and the 15th. So later tonight, you'll hear the second game of this series as they look to continue having success across the season. Let's see if we can find some stats for them so far. They do have stats here. So if we look at goals, Charlie Strammel and Tommy Monasto lead their team with 5. Porter Martone has 4. Tiernan Chowdy with 3, along with Anthony Romani. And Matt Basgall has 2. Those are all of the leaders for goals. Looking at assists, Porter Martone has 7, Daniel Russell with 6, Charlie Strammel with 5, Matt Basgall with 5, Tiernan Chowdy with 4, Tommy Manisto with 3, Riker Lee with 3, Gavin O'Connell and Maxim Strabach with 3 as well, Anthony Romani, Patrick Geary, Eric Nilsson, Sean Barnhill, and Travis Chowdy all have multiple assists on the year, and that is just for their skaters. Looking at their goaltenders, Melvin Straw played in 2 games. He has a 2 goals against average. He only let up 1 power play goal, and he's 1. I believe he had their 1 loss. His save percentage, 9.17. He has 22 saves. Meanwhile, Trey Augustine, 7-7, 10 goals against, 4 on the power play, 1.41 average, 168 saves, and a 9.44 save percentage. percentage. Taking a look at Michigan hockey, looking over at what they have going to be the number two team in the country. Beat Mercyhurst 11-1, 7-0. Beat Providence 5-1, 3-1. Beat Robert Morris 4-2, 10-2. Beat Western Michigan, who was number two at the time, 4-0, then lost to them 2-5 the next night. Beat Notre Dame 5-3, and then 2-1 in overtime. Beat number 10, Wisconsin 7-4, and then lost to them 6-1. Their next matchup is against Penn State at State College. Western Michigan, as you heard, does have a win over Michigan in their 5-5 record so far this season. Their next matchup is against Miami of Ohio. They did beat the U.S. National Developmental Team 7-0, lost to Ferris State 2-3, beat them 6-4, beat Lowell UMass 2-1 and 6-0. Obviously, you ran through the Michigan scores, beat St. Cloud 6-5, then lost to them 5-1, and then lost to Denver 3-1 and 3-6. That's our hockey update. We'll be back after the break to talk about Michigan and Michigan State on the hardwood in college basketball with more Mid Madness on 95.3 WBCK.
95.3 WBCK.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
When car shopping, you meant business. You ace vehicle history searches and test drives. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness on 95.3 WBCK. It's time for us to step inside for another winter sport on the hardwood in the college realm. We're talking Michigan and Michigan State college basketball. The season has gotten started, and both of these teams are primed to have wonderful seasons. Michigan, Michigan fans that were happy with what they had last year are definitely going to be excited about what they have coming up this year. Michigan State fans, they probably feel the way they always feel, that they expect to make it at least to the Elite Eight, and anything less than that is a failure of a season. And you know what? I might just agree with them, because Michigan State has become a perennial blue blood when it comes to basketball. They're going to make it to an Elite Eight. At best, a Sweet 16, but Sweet 16 is failure to them. Elite Eight, Final Four championship, that's their aspirations every single season. Tom Izzo has been giving it for years, and he's not going to change now. Nothing about him has changed. He's still the same old Tom Izzo. They're still the same old Spartans, and they're going to play their best basketball in February, March, and April. So we can say what we want about them now, but we won't know a lot about Michigan State Spartan basketball until we get to February, March, that area of time. But we're going to touch on them in just a second. We're going to start with the Wolverines. The Wolverines are currently the sixth-ranked team in the country. Yes, you heard that correctly. Six. One, two, three, four, five, six. Sixth-ranked team. There's only five teams that they think are better than the Michigan Wolverines. Some people out there, maybe me, will tell you that the Michigan Wolverines are the best team in the country. Their team looks completely different than what you had last year. Let's run through the roster. Namari Burnett is a returner. Elliot Cadeau, point guard, is a transfer from North Carolina. LJ Kaysen does return to this team. We have yet to see him play in a game. Howard Eisley Jr. is a sophomore returning to the team for his second year. Roddy Gale Jr. returns to this team as a senior who did transfer from Ohio State. Oscar Goodman is a freshman new to the team. Winters Grady is a freshman new to the team. Harrison Hochberg is a junior that is returning to the team. Morris Johnson Jr. transferred from Illinois to Michigan. 6'9 forward. 7'2 Malik Cordell is a freshman new to the team from Germany. Yaxel Landenborg is a senior transfer, 6'9 forward, pro ready bag from UAB, transferred to Michigan. Ricky Lubard, who we have not seen this year, is a freshman. Adai Mara is a 7'3 transfer to Michigan. I do not remember where he was from. Let me see if I can find that out for you. Oh, he transferred from UCLA and is now at Michigan. So staying within the Big Ten Conference. Charlie May is a senior returning to this team. Trey McKinney is a freshman from Flint, Michigan. He went to Orchard Lake St. Mary's, won Mr. Basketball last year, has the state championship new to this team. And then Will Shetter is returning to this team. They have been absolutely fantastic. Elliot Cadeau is a score first point guard that also can be a floor general and be an absolute facilitator at any time. He can score from all three levels, but can dish the ball and has amazing vision and handle. He's a great point guard. We know what Namari Burnett, Roddy Gale, and Will Shetter bring to this team. And then you're getting an amazing star in Yaxel Landenborg. He's a slightly shorter Danny Wolf. That's literally what you're getting in Yaxel Landenborg. He's still finding his way in this Michigan system, but the man can ball. There's a reason he was going to be a early second round pick, maybe late first round. And Michigan, Dusty May went to him and said, hey, look, man, we could probably make you a lottery pick. And if not, you're going to be in the top half of the first round instead of going in the second round. Come to Michigan, take an extra year. Let us work with you. He does it. And you know what? Dusty May has been proving himself right with the way that they have played so far this year. Now, they do only have two games in their regular season under their belt. The first was against the Grizzlies. Morris Johnson led the team with 24 points, 10 of 12 shooting, 4 for 4 from the free throw line. Ade Mara had 12 rebounds, 11 on the defensive end, 1 on the offensive end. Elliot Cadeau with 12 assists and only 1 turnover, doing a great job of taking care of the ball. And then on the other hand, though, they did play Wake Forest, and this was a game. Ade Mara had his hands all over it. 18 points, 13 rebounds, and Ade Mara, 18 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 blocks, 5 offensive rebounds out of his 13. He had 1 steal in the game as well. Yaxel Landenborg was held to 4 of 12 shooting for 9 points in this game, 1 for 7 from behind the 3-point line. Morris Johnson poured in 10 points. Elliot Cadeau with 17. You got 13 points from Roddy Gale Jr. off the bench. Another 8 from LJ Kaysen and Trey McKinney, who have played good ball so far this year. The Demon Deacons from Wake Forest, totally different ball game over there. Nate Calmise was great. He had 11 points, although it seemed like he shot better than 3 of 16. He was impressive. Miles Colvin went for 13 off of the bench. Makai Mason had 16. Juke Harris goes for 19. Trayvon Spillers had 8, along with Cooper Schweiger, who had 8 as well. Michigan won this game 85-84 in overtime, keeping themselves undefeated and looking to continue to move up in the ranks. Their most recent game was Friday night, ESPN2, 9 p.m. against TCU on the road. They play again on the 19th on BTN, 6:30 p.m. against Middle Tennessee State before they take on San Diego State on 11/24, True TV, 10:30 p.m. Great chances for them to remain undefeated in this season before they have a big matchup against number 22 Auburn, who ended their season last year in the Sweet 16, maybe the Elite Eight? No, the Sweet 16 in last year's March Madness tournament, and are currently ranked the 22nd best team in the country. That's TNT 11/25 at 8:30. Now let's talk about those Spartans. Spartans are also 2-0 so far this year. They took down Colgate 80-69, and then they had a huge game against 14th-ranked Arkansas 69-66 before they took on San Jose State. And then they have Kentucky on 11/18, 6:30 p.m. ESPN. Kentucky, the 9th-ranked team in the country, before they take on Detroit Mercy, 6:30 p.m. on BTN on the 21st. East Carolina, 11/25, 1 p.m. on FS2. And then 11/27 at 4:30 p.m. on Fox against North Carolina. Wow. I mean, we know what Tom Izzo has been able to do with Michigan State for a long time. He has Cohen Carr returning to this team. Carson Cooper returns to this team. Jeremy Fears Jr. returns to this team. Trey Fort returning to this team. Caleb Glenn is a transfer, I believe. Jackson Kohler returns to this team. Jesse McCullough is new to this team. Nick Sanders returns to this team. Jordan Scott is a freshman. Kurt Tang is a transfer. Divine Ugochukwu is a transfer as well. Brennan Walton is a freshman. Colin Walton is a freshman. Cam Ward is a freshman. Denon Wojcik is a senior. I mean, that's the roster. I don't know how he continues to do it, but Jeremy Fears Jr. and Cohen Carr are unbelievable. Jackson Kohler has been great down low playing that forward position. He's gotten some relief with Brennan Walton and Colin Walton as well. I believe they are twins, 6'7", 220, both from Okemos, Michigan. He's gotten some play from Jesse McCullough as well. It's been Jackson McCullough and Carson Cooper that have been playing down low the most. Those other three are trying to crack the rotation, but Michigan State does what Michigan State does. They play hard-nosed football. They make it hard for you on the defensive end. They get out in transition. They let Cohen Carr light up the gym with dunks, and then that gets the crowd into it. And that's how they're able to have so much success time and time again. Teams are not able to crack the defensive pressure and formula that the Spartans put on them, and it leads to easy buckets. Then you're behind, and you're jacking up threes, and you're trying to play too hard on defense. They're drawing fouls. They're hitting their free throws. And sometimes Michigan State has to come from behind. And it's something about the way that Tom Izzo coaches that draws the dog out of his team. When they're coming back from behind, it doesn't matter who's in the game. They're locked in, and they're like a shark seeing blood in water. They want everything they can get, and you better be ready, because you're never going to get a tougher opponent than a Michigan State team that feels like they're down on their hands and knuckles. Not their hands and knee, or down on their knees and knuckles. Not their hands and knees, but their knees and knuckles, and they're bleeding. They're going to come at you like a ravaged, savage pack of hyenas. And it's insane the way they work on the defensive end to create opportunities for them offensively. Their big game was against Arkansas, 69-66. Cam Ward had 18 points in this game, 8 of 13, 2 for 4 from the free throw line. He also had 10 rebounds. Jeremy Fears had 9 assists. Michigan State shot 41% from the field, but just 7% from the three-point line. 14 turnovers apiece in this game, 45 rebounds for Michigan State. That's where they won this game, just 33 for Arkansas. Arkansas shot 39.3% from the field, 25% from the three-point line. So this one, I mean, literally came down to the wire with just over 2 minutes left. There was a 52.2% chance that Arkansas was going to win the game, tied at 66. They had all the momentum as they were coming back in that game before eventually losing it, and Michigan State came up with a big win. That ends our segment here talking about college basketball. When we return from the break, we're going to get an update on a big situation coming out of Michigan State before getting into our picks, because, man, Michigan State fans are not going to like this. We got more Mid-Madness on 95.3 WBCK.
WBCK.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. The process of improving credit scores is different for everyone. To boost them, you can start by actually knowing what your current score is showing in your credit report. If it's not that great and you have a large amount of debt on one of your cards, tackle your debt as much as you can by paying off your credit card every month. But if that's not possible, try to make small payments, which can help you maintain or increase your credit score. And if you can, pay just a bit more over the minimum monthly monthly payment. A well-known payment method is the debt snowball, where you pay down your debts from smallest to largest. And also try to use credit cards in moderation. Many people's first instinct is not to use any credit cards at all to avoid getting into debt, but that's not a good move. When using your credit card, make sure to pay it on time each month. After you have paid off your credit card, you might think it's best to close the account. However, this actually hurts your credit score. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Remember, always be generous with the nutmeg. Just eyeball it.
Okay.
Mom's wisdom has served you well, but now it may be your turn to guide her.
Hey, I'm worried about Mom. She keeps forgetting her famous sweet potato pie recipe.
Some things come with age, sis.
And some don't.
Knowing the early signs of Alzheimer's in a loved one will help you make the best decisions for your family. Visit 10signs.org to learn the signs. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid-Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Michigan State fans are going to hate Mel Tucker forever. He has robbed them not once and not twice, but now three times. The first time, he robbed them of success. The second time, he robbed them of all of that money when he had to be bought out. And now he has robbed them of wins and dignity. Yeah, wins and dignity are now gone as well. Michigan State gets hit with an insane penalty for violations that occurred during his tenure as coach. The violations occurred due to the participation of three ineligible players. The Spartans will vacate all 14 wins from the past three seasons. That includes all five wins last season during Jonathan Smith's first year as a coach as well. The three players are no longer with the program. Michigan State will also be penalized $30,000 plus 1.5% of the football's program budget for the 2024 season. That budget was $58.6 million, according to figures provided by Knight Commission on Intercollegiate Athletics. The Spartans will also face restrictions on official and unofficial visits, recruiting communications, recruiting person days, and off-campus recruiting contacts and evaluations over the probationary period. The school released a statement saying it negotiated a resolution with the NCAA to minimize the penalties on the current team, as it is a three-year probation period. The NCAA handed Tucker, former Michigan State general manager Saeed Khalif, and former assistant coach Brandon Jordan show cause penalties. Tucker was given a three-year order. The NCAA said Tucker failed to adequately monitor his program. Khalif was given 6 years and Jordan 5 years. Their longer penalties were given for knowingly providing impermissible recruiting inducements. The three cannot work in college athletics until their show cause orders end. Michigan State fired Tucker back in 2023 due to that entire scandal. So I want to take a look back at Michigan State football and their schedule for the last couple of years, so we can see what exactly what games they're missing out on as far as wins. So that goes for 2022, 2023, and 2024. So the 2022 schedule, they had five wins. That includes a win over Western Michigan, Akron, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Rutgers. Those are all now vacated wins from 2022. We're going to bump this up to 2023 and take a look at those wins as well. Another four wins get added against Central Michigan, Richmond, Nebraska, and Indiana. Who, wow, I bet they want that win back real bad now. And then 2024, we take a look at their schedule one last time. Those wins, five of them over Florida Atlantic, Maryland, Prairie View A&M, Iowa, and Purdue are all vacated over the last couple of years. all due to the inexcusable nature of Mel Tucker. He came through and just added and piled on to the allegations that run through Michigan State, has made it hard for their football program to bring in recruits, and has now literally stolen from them three different times in three different ways that has affected the program far more than it has affected him. This may go down as one of the worst moves in college football history. The Michigan State Spartans hiring Mel Tucker may go down as one of the worst moves, not only in their school history, but in the entire college football history. I mean, it's just atrocious what has happened to them since his hiring. And now they have to figure out how they're going to bounce back with this probation period where they basically can't recruit. Everything that every other team gets to do, they get to do significantly less of. So now they have to really pick and choose what recruits they want to give certain advantages to. Okay, now you only get, say, you know, we're making up numbers here. Say they had 55 college day visits. Like, people could come to their campus for 55 campus visits. That's now been cut to, let's say, 30. So now they have to basically say, okay, you 25 kids cannot come and see our campus on an official visit ever. Like, we just can't do that this year, because we don't have the means to do that under this probationary period. Oh, we want to go out and do some recruiting? Well, we can only go to this many games. Say, you know, as a coaching staff, they could have gone to 45 games in a year. Well, now it's been cut to 20. So now they have to say, well, sorry, Timmy, we couldn't make it to your game because of our probationary period problems. We had to go to this game because we wanted this guy a little bit more. Do you know how hard it is already to recruit? You already got to throw money at these kids, which I get, because I am on the side that college athletes should be paid. So don't take it the wrong way when I say that. But you got to throw money at them. You got to have a nice campus. You got to have all the things that they're looking for. You got to have cute girls. School has to be somewhat easy. You got to have a nice stadium. Locker room has to be top notch. Your gear has to be dope. You got to have a nice colorway. There has to be good food around. There's got to be something to do in the city. And you got to be able to go to a bunch of their games. You got to be able to talk to them on a regular. You got to be able to invite them to your campus. You got to have them on overnights. These are all things that are going to be stipulated now. And these are all things that are going to be much harder for Michigan State to do when they're under this probationary period, which also means Michigan, Ohio State, Indiana, Alabama, LSU, Notre Dame can all come in and steal tons and tons of recruits from Michigan State. Iowa, Penn State might even be on this list, because they don't have to deal with these same problems in recruiting that Michigan State now has to deal with. Michigan State has to either A, try and go around these and get in even more trouble when they get caught again, because that's the whole point of a probationary period, is to, hey, chill out before you get in worse trouble for doing something you shouldn't be doing. Or they have to find a way to rig this system up against everybody else and be like, hey, look, you think you're special because you're going on a visit with that other school? That other school has 100 visits. So they're just inviting just about anybody that is even on a ESPN 300 list so that you can come out. You're not special to them. You're special to us. That's why I took the time to have this conversation with you and tell you that we're not going to be able to have you on an official campus visit. But that doesn't mean that I can't have you on an unofficial visit and then send you some stuff in the mail after you go home. All of those things are well within my rights. See, there are ways to work around the systems that are pitted against you, but you have to have the will and the smarts to do so. And Michigan State has to be extremely, extremely careful about the way that they do it. The NCAA has been ears up, perked, not only on the Big Ten, not only on the state of Michigan with Michigan and Michigan State now, but just overall as NIL continues to grow and allegations continue to pop up around the country. The NCAA feels like they're losing a grip on something that they never had a hold of in the first place. And they feel like they're being made maybe a mockery of with the way that many institutions choose to challenge them with their rulings because, well, where does the NCAA really have any power? Really only in college sports. Once you take the college sport into the law, man, the NCAA loses just about everything. Then it's basically a money game, and most colleges got the money to go toe-to-toe with the NCAA. So does the NCAA ever really want to go to a court case? No. So they end up finding other ways to go at teams for punishing to go at teams and punish them for coming at the NCAA. And this right here is not that. This is just Michigan State not doing its due diligence to hire the right guy. Now that we got through all of that, we're going to be back after the break to do our picks, as always, with more Mid Madness on 95.3 WBCK.
95.3 WBCK. 95.3 WBCK.
Madness on 95.3 WBCK. It's time to get into what is my favorite part of the show sometimes because, well, picks are fun, but sometimes they are the exact opposite. They actually make you want to cry sometimes. And last week was one of those weeks that might have made me want to cry. I went 2-4 last week. My saving graces were Texas A&M over Mizzou and Oregon over Iowa, but BYU got trounced by Texas Tech. The Bucks lost to the Patriots. The 49ers beat the lost to the Rams. And the Packers just absolutely ruined the entire thing on Monday Night Football against the Eagles. So that has me at 45-27 now. So still sitting comfortably at 18 games over 500. But going to look to bounce back this week, as football can always be unbelievable, and try and have a much better this week with 6 football games loaded up, 4 in the college ranks, and we got 2 going down in the NFL. You can play along anytime. You got the chat feature in the WBCK app. Listen to the picks, deliberate amongst yourself, send in those picks, and see who does better, me or you. Maybe it's you, maybe it's me. Who knows? But if you know ball like I know ball, you should be doing pretty well right about now. Like I said, I'm 18 games over 500, so I feel great. That's 3 entire weeks that I would have to go 0-6 in order to be 500. So I feel great right now. So we're going to head into another week of picks. Starting in the college football world, the number 9 ranked Notre Dame Fighting Irish are 7-2. They will take on the 22 ranked Pittsburgh Pirates, who are also 7-2. This game is at noon on ABC at Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh. That's also where the Steelers play. 77% chance for Notre Dame, 23% chance for Pitt. Notre Dame opens up as 12.5-point favorites, -550 on the money line. 55.5 is the over-under, +384. The Panthers are led by Mason Heinschel, 118 to 184 for 1,547 passing yards, 12 TDs and 5 interceptions on the season. Jakarian Turner has 399 rushing yards and 88 carries and 6 touchdowns, 37 receptions for 573 yards and 4 TDs for Kenny Johnson. Jimmy Scott has 4 sacks, and Braylon Lovelace with 55 tackles. C.J. Carr, Jeremiah Love, and Jordan Faison leading their team on the offensive end. Abubakar Traoré has 6.5 sacks. Drake Bowen with 55 tackles. Notre Dame, perfect 5-0. In their last 5, a win over Boise State, North Carolina State, USC, Boston College, and Navy. Only giving up 7-7, 10-10, and 24 points in those 5 games. USC doing the best with 24. Pitt, meanwhile, wins over Stanford, North Carolina State, Syracuse, Ferris State, and Boston College. Only giving up 7 points to Boston College, 13 to Syracuse, and 20 to Stanford, but gave up 34 to North Carolina State and 31 to Ferris State. I mean, that pretty much spells it out for me. Notre Dame has been great since their early snafus, and their offense has been clicking on all cylinders. I'm going to take Notre Dame to win this game and probably just about lock in their playoff spot. I mean, all they got to do is win one more game to close the season out. 2 more games close the season out at 10-2, and I'm sure they will be in the playoff. Our next game down in the SEC, Oklahoma, the 11th ranked Sooners, are 7-2, 3-2 in the SEC. Alabama is 8-1, 6-0 in the SEC, the 4th ranked Crimson Tide. ABC game on at 3:30, 28.6% chance for Oklahoma, 71.4% chance for Alabama. John Mateer versus Ty Simpson, Torrey Blaylock versus Jam Miller, Isaiah Stagna the third, Sategna the third, and Jeremy Bernard. That's what the offenses look like. You have R. Mason Thomas with 6.5 sacks to Yanze Pierre, 6 sacks. Kip Lewis, 53 tackles to Justin Jefferson's 54. Bama 5-0 in their last five. 20-9 win over LSU. 29-22 win over South Carolina. 37-20 over Tennessee. 27-24 over Mizzou. And 30-14 over Vanderbilt. Oklahoma, meanwhile, 44-0 win over Kent State. 23-6 loss to Texas. 26-7 win to South Carolina. 34-26 loss to Ole Miss. And 33-27 win to Tennessee. 6.5-point favorites for the Crimson Tide. -195 on the money line. +165 for Oklahoma. 45.5 sits on the over-under. This game is at Bryant-Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And that's, to me, what gives the edge to Alabama, is this is an SEC game at home against a team that has a quarterback that can't throw the ball as well as he should be able to because he had thumb surgery and, I believe, returned too early. So I'm going to take Bama to win yet another game and prove to 9-1 on the year and 7-0 in the SEC, just about locking in that SEC championship game appearance. Let's bounce over to the Big Ten for a quick second. The 21-ranked Hawkeyes from Iowa, 6-3, 4-2 in the Big Ten, are taking on the USC Trojans, who are 7-2, 5-1 in the Big Ten, 17th-ranked team in the country, 3:30 p.m. on BTN, 23.8% for Iowa, 76.2% for USC. USC coming in as 6.5-point favorites. -240 on the money line, +200 for Iowa, 48.5 sits on the over-under. It's Maeva against Gronkowski, Kamari Moulton against King Miller, Makai Lemon against Sam Phillips for their respective offenses. Max Lewin has 6 sacks in comparison to Braylon Shelby's 3.5. Carson Shar has 56 tackles to Eric Gentry's 61. Iowa 3-2 in their last five. They have an 18-16 loss to Oregon and a 20-15 loss to Indiana. Those are their two Big Ten losses, which to me are not bad losses. Those are both top 10 teams, and they have wins over Minnesota, Penn State, and Wisconsin. Their Penn State win was only by 1 point. They beat Wisconsin 37-0 and Minnesota 41-3. So they can ball and put up points when they absolutely need to. USC on the other side has a loss to Illinois 34-32, a win over Michigan 31-13, a loss to Notre Dame 34-24, a win over Nebraska 21-17, and a win over Northwestern 38-17. This game is going to be played at Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum in L.A. Even though USC is the home team, even though they have gotten great play from Jordan Maeva, and they have no reason to think that they would lose a Big Ten game like this one, I'm going to pick them to do just that. Iowa has had their backs against the ropes multiple times this year, but they also have played fantastic football this year, sometimes on the road, sometimes at home. But some of these teams have gotten the best Iowa football they could get, and I think that's what USC is going to get this weekend. I'm going to pick Iowa to pull off a small, air quotes around small, upset. Well, air quotes around upset, because it's not really an upset, but I'm picking Iowa to win this game. We're going to go back to the SEC for a quick second. Texas Longhorns taking on the Georgia Bulldogs, 7:30 p.m. ABC. This game will also be on WBCK. 7-2 for the Longhorns, 4-1 in the SEC, 8-1 and 6-1 the SEC for the Bulldogs. 10 versus 5, 40.1% for Texas, 59.9% for Georgia. This game is in Sanford Stadium in Athens, Georgia. 6.5-point favorites for the Bulldogs, -225 on the money line, +190 for the Longhorns. 48.5 sits on the over-under. Arch Manning, Quintravian Wisner, Ryan Wingo on one side for offense. Gunnar Stockton, Nate Frazier, and Zachariah Branch on the other side. You have Colin Simmons with 8 sacks and Anthony Hill Jr. with 64 tackles for Texas. And C.J. Allen doing his thing with 3.5 sacks and 75 tackles to lead Georgia. Georgia 5-0 in their last 5 with wins over Mississippi State, Florida, Mississippi, Auburn, and Kentucky. Texas, meanwhile, has a loss to Florida on their record in their last 5 and also wins over Oklahoma, Kentucky in overtime, Mississippi State in overtime, and Vanderbilt. So, I mean, I think this one is spelled out pretty simply for me. I'm going to pick Georgia. They're going to try and remain at the top of that SEC, try and get a championship game against Alabama again and see if they can work their way into the college football playoff. Now we're going over to the big leagues. It's time to talk some NFL. Tampa Bay Buccaneers will go on the road to take on the Buffalo Bills. The Bucs are 6-3, 4-1 on the road. The Buffalo Bills, 6-3, 4-1 at home. This game is 1 p.m. on CBS. Buffalo, 60.8% chance to win, 38.9% for Tampa Bay. The rest is for that tie. 5.5-point favorites are the Bills, -270 on the money line, +220 for the Bucs, 47.5 on the over-under. Jared Allen, Jared Cook, Khalif Shakir versus Baker Mayfield, Rashad White, and Emeka Egbuka. Joey Bosa, 4 sacks, right tied with Yaya Diaby. And then Tyke Smith has 74 tackles, while Cole Bishop has 48. Bucky Irvin, Chris Godwin, Vita Vea, all questionable slash doubtful for this game. Antoine Winfield Jr., also questionable. No major injuries for the Bills. Bills just 2-3 in their last 5 games. 3-2 for the Bucs, but I think the Bills are going to come out on top. I mean, they're playing at home. It's probably going to be a little bit colder than the Bucs are used to. The Bills, they show up for these kind of games, especially against the AFC. I think they get a huge game from Josh Allen. Maybe James Cook also has a good game on the ground, and they're able to see some success for yet another week. That's going to move us on to our last game of the weekend. Give me the Lions versus the Eagles. 8:20 p.m. NBC, Peacock, and WBCK. It's going to be right here for you to listen. 48.8% for the Lions, 50.8% for the Eagles. The rest for a tie. The Lions 6-3, 3-2 on the road. Eagles 3-1 at home, 7-2 on the year. First place in the NFC up for grabs. Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, Devontae Smith versus Jared Goff, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Aiden Hutchinson, Jack Campbell, and company. Graham Glasgow, Taylor Decker, Penei Sewell, Cam Jurns, Tyler Stern, Landon Dickerson, Lane Johnson, all huge injuries. 3-2 in the last 5 for the Eagles. Same thing for the Lions. As much as I like the Eagles, I'm not crazy. Give me the Lions. I'm going to take Notre Dame, Bama, Iowa, Georgia, Bills, Lions. And this weekend, we got tons of sports coming up for you. We have Michigan taking off this weekend, or as soon as I'm done here. The pregame show starts at 11. Game is at noon, and then you get Texas and Georgia tonight on WBCK. And then we have Sunday night football coming up for you tomorrow on WBCK. That game is going to be your Lions and Eagles. And then Monday night football is going to be Cowboys and Raiders. Have an amazing weekend. We'll be back with more Mid Madness on 95.3 WBCK.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.